Our scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to chapter 9, the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 9, verse 28 and following. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became dazzling white. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they wakened, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he said this, a cloud came down and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Jesus was found alone. And when the voice had spoken, they kept silence, for no one was told in those days anything of what they had seen. The train seemed to glide into the station, and as it stopped, its occupants slowly emerged, looking just a little bit dazed. At first glance, one could tell that this was no ordinary group of passengers. There were many different nationalities, and yet they were surprised to see and hear that they all understood each other perfectly, everything they had said. As they looked around, they immediately noticed that the surroundings were just as beautiful as they had imagined. The streets seemed to glow as if they had just been polished. The gate of the entranceway of the city sparkled as if it held 1,000,000 perfect diamonds. The gatekeeper himself, dressed in white, gave a hint of the divine. The line of passengers moved toward the gate, and as the train slowly pulled out of the station, they saw it was bound for its next destination. As the passengers neared the entrance, one of the new arrivals nudged his neighbor and said, So, this is heaven. This is heaven. You know, I always knew it was going to be this way. Yes, sir, I always knew this was going to be like this. The man beside him listened as the line finally stopped. The gatekeeper, holding a huge black book, asked them to be seated as he began interviewing each of them one by one. Near the end of the line, the two gentlemen took their seats. The one who had spoken before spoke once again. Let me introduce myself. I'm the Reverend Clarence Smith. Clarence Smith, that is. The other man held out his hand. My name is Gabe. Smith continued without shaking the man's hand. Yep, you know, I just knew it was going to be this way. I always pictured heaven just like this. And buddy, that's why I prepared myself. When I heard I had to be saved, I took the first life jacket I could find. Smith nudged his neighbor once again, but Gabe listened intently to what he had and what he was saying. Friend, I'll tell you, I wasn't about to wait to get my name in that little black book over there. No, sir. I was baptized right there on the spot. You know that preacher? Put me all the way under the water. That's the only way to go all the way under. How about you, friend? How were you baptized? Gabe answered, Oh, me, I wasn't ever baptized. For the first time, Smith was left speechless, but just for a moment, like any good preacher. And then he continued, Son, I hate to tell you this, but you've just wasted your time. You've just wasted your time. You should have been on the other train, the red one, going the other way. Why, the good book clearly states you got to be baptized, and buddy, when you baptize, you got to go under that water. I preached that many a time. Gabe did not really seem to care, but Smith kept right on talking. Friend, When old Pete over there, when he sees you ain't been baptized, and you sure ain't been baptized right, you're going to see more degrees than any university ever handed out. Yes, sir, I'm telling you. But maybe, just maybe now, old Pete, maybe he's had a good day. Maybe he hasn't let in his quota for today. So maybe he'll have mercy on you. You know, think good of you. Gabe spoke up once again. You sound pretty sure of yourself, Clarence. Sure? Of course I'm sure. Smith showed a bit of irritation. Let me tell you, friend, during my mere years in the ministry, I baptized more converts than a dog has fleas. Yes, sir, I was known in my association as old Duncan Smith. Why, I stayed in that baptistry so much I started wearing a bathing suit to church. Those were the days. Those were the days. Smith was clearly proud of his achievements, and so he continued talking about himself. Gabe, let me tell you, I was quite a preacher in those days, quite a preacher. Had a church with 1,500 members when I started, 3,000 when I ended. Full-time staff, 4 associate pastors. Each year they presented me with a car. Woo! What a ministry. Gabe seemed now quite interested. Clarence, did you ever do any mission work? Sure I did, Smith replied. Why, I was on the board of directors for Give a Hand Missions Incorporated. I sent quite a few people out to bring in the heathen. Again, Gabe asked a question. But did you ever go out in the field yourself? Well, yes, once or twice. Now, don't get me wrong, son. Don't get me wrong. To tell you the truth, Gabe, and I don't want St. Pete to know about this, you know, I was never comfortable in those kinds of situations. You know, prisons and hospitals, they made me kind of sick. But, you know, I usually had my witnessing teams. I was quick to send them out there. Even when we heard about the situation in Ethiopia, we knew something had to be done. And so we sent 2 teams over there to let us know what was happening. Well, they sent us back word that those poor wretches were in need. We took up a collection and we sent them 1,000 Bibles. I'm sure they appreciated that. Gabe looked a bit disappointed. You sound mighty proud of yourself, Clarence. Oh, yes, I am, Smith replied. I can tell you right now, I preached the gospel, I did my work for Jesus Christ, and now I'm here to receive my reward. Just then, the angel at the gate called Clarence Smith. As he stood in front of the angel, Smith was asked to read a portion of Scripture which he was a little bit unfamiliar with, a portion of Matthew. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Smith seemed confused for just a moment. But then the situation suddenly hit home. He soon was down in front of St. Pete on his knees. Listen, Pete, I mean St. Peter. Now, you ask anybody, they'll tell you I'm not that kind of man. They'll tell you exactly what kind of Christian I am. Why, just that man sitting beside me just now? Ask him. Smith very nervously looked around, but his friend was gone. You've got to believe me, St. Peter. A man was sitting right beside me. He'll tell you all about me. Just then the sound of a trumpet was heard as the next train pulled into the station. The gatekeeper turned to the man in front of him and said quietly, Don't worry, Reverend Smith. Gabriel did tell us about you. A few minutes later, the train pulled out once again, bound for another destination, carrying a few more passengers. There is no greater menace within the Christian church today than a minister or a Christian servant without a social conscience. In our scripture, we find Jesus talking with two of the greatest Old Testament figures, Moses and Elijah. Moses, the leader of an exodus, the leader of an exodus of God's people out of physical bondage and oppression. And Elijah, the leader of another type exodus, one in which God's people were called out of idol worship with the words, "If the Lord be God, then serve him." Peter, James, and John share an experience with Christ in which they hear a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And to paraphrase impetuous Peter's remarks, "Master, you know, this is the best place we could be. I mean, we're here with the bigwigs, Moses and Elijah, voices from heaven. Why don't we just set up three tabernacles and set up shop permanently?" But Peter's plea is fortunately denied, and Jesus and the group head back down the mountain to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to live in the world. This scripture should remind us as Christians, us as Christian ministers and servants of the gospel, that we cannot wall ourselves off from the pains of the world and live on our own particular mountaintop of religious experience. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me," they were not invited to leave the world, but to walk with Jesus through it, healing and preaching and correcting the problems of the day. We as ministers of the gospel must come down off our pedestals, out of our pulpits and our three-piece suits, and follow Jesus into the slums, the hospitals, the prisons, the gutters of the world. We should look beyond our narrow-mindedness and give help to those who may not believe as we do and may never change. We should join hands with other Christians, all denominations, and get ourselves a little dirty for Christ. We can do this by forgetting our differences within each denomination and within others, by forgetting or not even caring who was baptized by immersion, pouring or sprinkling. We can do this by not only ministering and preaching the gospel of salvation, but ministering the gospel of loving thy neighbor as thyself. We can help those who need help by preaching less of pie in the sky and more of our duties on earth as Christians while we are here. We should learn to feed the hungry before we induct them into the RAs or the GAs. To love others as we tell them of Jesus Christ. And to raise them up as responsible adults as well as Christians. I, as one of 2 million members of the United Church of Christ, most of you as members of the 14 million plus Southern Baptist Church, all other Protestants and 627 million Roman Catholics. They outnumber us, fellas. We all must join together, loving and working in Christ's name to bring his kingdom to earth. We as ministers can help the situation by daring to follow Christ ourselves, by daring to preach the true gospel. Andrew Young is quoted as once saying, "Any minister who dared to preach this true gospel should have his bags packed and at the door of every church he goes to." It's not a popular topic. Christ's death on the cross proved that. But with Christ's help, and as we put our words into actions, we'll find his hand lifting and sustaining us. And the one beside us in heaven or here on earth will be our brother, our sister, one we may have helped along the way and may not have even known. Let us bear in mind always what the writer of Hebrews warns us: do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. It is a verse that the Reverend Smith should have learned, and one in which we still have the opportunity to heed. Let us pray. Dear Lord, open our minds that we might fully understand our Christian duties while we are here on earth. Open our eyes that we might see the needs of others. Open our ears that we might hear their cries for help. And open our hearts that we might love and care for them while sharing the glorious good news of your word. Take us into your world as we seek to live the life of those called to be servants of God, now and forevermore. Amen.